At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show. It's November 7th, 2024. I am Joel Pearl. I don't use the at sign anymore because the places where you typically find me there, I'm bouncing over to the other places, and they don't use the at signs yet. But the blue sky and the threads, it's Joel Pearl. It's still my full name. But anyway, we're here to talk about TNA Impact and plenty more. We're on the road to Turning Point. This is the last night of taping matches in Detroit. And so Cresta Starr is here, as she always is. Hello, wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. For our audio listeners, you cannot see, but I do have on a mustache for No Shave November. Was it Movember? That's me.
Good for you. You're going to
grow. I have a mustache, too.
Well, I've always got a mustache. It's kind of, I mean, I didn't for a long time, and then I was like, I'm just going to grow the full beard. It used to be like not Amish. It would just like be the this. Mm-hmm. Just that. Yeah, I got rid of it. I never liked having a mustache. And then I just got lazy and here I am.
Honestly, I wouldn't fight my facial hair either. Do your worst.
Do your worst too, and drop a thumbs up on the video if you haven't already. If you're listening to us in audio form, go ahead, leave a 5-star review wherever you are. Could be Spotify, could be Apple Podcast. It could be Google Podcast, doesn't exist anymore. But somehow, maybe you've circumvented that and you want to leave a 5-star review, go ahead, wherever you are, do that. You can subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful and subscribe to Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And also, of course, you can go to humperchats.com. Cresta, tell them all about it.
You're going to take your fingers and use whatever device you use for the internet, whether that be your phone or the computer, you go to humperchats.com. You put your dollar amount in the dollar box. You put your comment like, hey, Joel Pearl, are you not going to be shaving for November? Or how do you feel about TNA? It doesn't matter. We're going to read it on air. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. I like it. Joel likes it. The Decepticons like it. Humperchats.com.
And of course, you can leave a super chat any amount. Get your question or statement read on the air. Similar situation, but Humperchats get you... Well, it gets us a little further. You can give your money however you choose. Let's talk about TNA Impact. We do have a new X Division champion. Moose has captured the title from Speedball Mike Bailey. We mentioned during the crossover, Moose has a little bit more time left on his TNA contract than Speedball does. It's entirely possible that Speedball decides to stick around, but as of right now, Moose is a sure thing. He's been a multi-time world champion. It's the only championship up until now that Moose hadn't captured. The match was a lot of fun. Speedball put it over on socials earlier today, but we have a new X Division champion. What did you think of that and just overall thoughts on the show?
The match, the main event was really good. So I won't take anything away from it. Yeah, it's something else for the system, but Moose is the face of the franchise, so... But the match itself was fine. The show overall, from my standpoint, because I write all my notes, it was a nice addition to take a break during the Ali and Santana match. It was a good match regardless, but we already did that, girl. It was fine. However, much like last week, I understand why the structure of this, the way it was, what it was. I'm assuming they were still dealing with the two wrestlers being injured, so they had to move things around. So I'm not mad. To me, it was an inoffensive show. Everything in wrestling was fine, but the show itself.
Yeah, it just kind of existed.
Yeah.
And again, going back to what had happened, we're still in Detroit. This was the last night of the taping, or the last of the matches that were taped there. You do have to remember, again, there were two matches that didn't happen. One they scrapped, and that was the tag team title match between the Hardys and Ace of Bays because of what happened to Chris Bay, and he was injured. They're running a Whatnot charity stream for Chris tomorrow, so if you want to go check that out, you can. And then also they... had to scrap a dark match, but regardless, that's why you got the Santana and Ali match from June. But yeah,
not mad at it.
No, it's fine. Listen, it was an overbooked dark match that they put together, and it was a lot of fun for the live crowd, and it is what it is. But regardless, Moose captures the X Division championship. That was a great main event to air. Trying to think, like, if they had aired that tag title match, it would have been good vibes, but I don't think it would have been as impactful, you know, knowing that Moose would have won the tag, would have won the X Division championship earlier in the show. So, you know, in terms of placement, you know, silver lining, I guess, to Moose is winning that title and now hopefully putting the X Division on a bit of a silver platter moving forward. Feels like Turning Point, they'll turn it into a triple threat, or Moose will get a new challenger and they'll do Speedball versus Trent Seven, because Trent Seven came out at the end of the night and did exactly what we expected, beat the shit out of Speedball, because he was over Speedball last week.
Nobody wants to hear your over optimistic BS. And Trent Seven let him know, like anybody else does in professional wrestling, the old yambag shuffle.
The way to do it. And you know what, I'm okay with Moose being the only person in the system to have gold for the foreseeable future. They did announce that at Turning Point it is official, it's Edward Edwards versus Nick Nemeth. Turning Point is turning into a hey look at us, we're gonna be at WrestleCade type of show. I'm not anticipating much other than the Reckless Elegance gaining the Knockouts tag titles. That's pretty much the only thing I'm expecting at this show of newsworthiness. We'll see if we cover it. It's the night before Survivor Series, so that SmackDown is also going to be in play as something big. Whether we do a post show, that's gonna kind of just, it's gonna depend on what the matches are like. Wouldn't be surprised if they run back Macklin and Alexander. Wouldn't be surprised if they do that Moose, either Moose triple threat, or they'll do Moose and a new challenger, like I mentioned. Tag titles will probably be against First Class, and don't know what else they'll run. Knockouts title. Masha will probably have a match. Maybe it's the Jordynne Grace rematch. I don't know.
Either way, I mean, is it bad that I'm excited for Turning Point, even though the matches I feel like won't have like any impact in the long term?
You can be excited for a show. I'm covering it from a newsworthiness
standpoint. Okay, fair. That's a good point.
To me, it's like, will I watch the show? Yeah, I'll watch the show. Will we do a post show? Well, that's going to be dependent on whether or not the card stacks up and whether or not there's anything worth, you know, hopping on and talking about. Because if we come on and we're like, okay, they did a 2.5 hour wrestling show and we did 30 minutes of talk, well, what are we doing here?
Hanging out with your best bud, Joel Pearl. Yay.
Send you a DM and talk with you there.
Send you a DM. I don't want to be on camera.
send you a photo of my feelings anyway. Oh man. I guess since we're midway through talking about this Moose and Mike Bailey match, we should probably just, you know, give them the hits.
Let's get it out of the way.
I mean, the finish was fantastic. They did have Moose having to hit four spears to get the win is meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the Speedball and Leon Slater match where Speedball had to take out Leon Slater with a whole arsenal of finishes, whereas Moose had to do the same to Speedball to capture the X Division title. I appreciate that. I like that they showed that this is a strong champion being beaten by a stronger former world champion. Listen, I don't love Moose, but I love that they made both men look good, both in defeat and in victory. So I'll give them that. But the rest of the match, like, it was fine. It was very much Moose is a big dude basing for Speedball who can hit those, you know, those top rope shuffle type moves. It was good stuff. What were your thoughts? What'd you like?
I want to give a shout out to Hannifin, because at the beginning of the match, he had said, I'm going to ask you the question. Are you thinking that Moose is wanting to option C it? And in that moment, I wasn't like, that wouldn't be a bad shout. It's a great way for you to weasel your way back into the main event scene. Don't think it'll happen right now, because they also put over that this is the only title that he hasn't won. Them destroying, Speedball kicking the hell out of that steel steps. Bro, I thought he broke his foot. I thought Moose broke his hand when he slapped the post. That from there was gnarly. They also started the match at 9:20 or 9:30-ish. And I was like, is there another thing after this, or is this going to go the distance? This match went the distance. The counters in the last third of the match is counter after counter after counter. It's a really good match. I will say Moose being X Division champion, right now you give a lot of young, thirsty guys a mountain to climb, and he's the mountain. And you can spin it two ways. Like, you can cash it in, so Moose, like, well, I was never pinned. Or you can say, well, this is the title I've never had. I'm going to do what I want. This match is fantastic. I got to give a shout out to Moose kicking out of the Ultimo Weapon. Because a lot of people don't do that. I think Moose is what, the second person? I can't even think of the first. I'm only saying second because I don't want to lie. You know what I mean? Like,
but they put it over too. I mean, the crowd was into it. Tom Hannafin sold it really well. It was, yeah, you know, it was unexpected. Again, if you hadn't read spoilers, you would have thought that was the end of the match. But they did a really good job. Again, if you put yourself in the live crowd reaction, then yeah, they did a really good job of making that look really special, which was great. I enjoyed it. Like, even I for a second was like, wait a minute. And then he kicked out. And I was like, oh, they got me. And I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, no, this match was really good. Like you had said it in the beginning, this is really a Moose power versus Speedball being fast and his psychology. This match was fantastic. My only one complaint is this whole match, Speedball was selling his foot, and this is what Moose did every now and then. Like, sir, you're about as bad as Seth Rollins, and I love Seth Rollins, but Seth Rollins be hurt, be like, ooh, okay, I'm going to do something really dangerous. Ooh, like,
man is so unserious.
Bro, like, Speedball the whole time is limping, looking like a dog who got his paw ran over. This is Moose. I'm going to throw you into the buckle.
He's big. He's strong. He's Moose. He doesn't need to focus on his injuries. He should probably sell.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny. And I look at it like you are unserious, like you said. But if I'm one of those Turbo fans, I'm taken out of the fantasy. Like, try.
I get it. Listen, I give people shit all the time for not selling enough or selling or overselling. So, like, I totally understand that criticism and I can see that, you know. Yeah, it's.
I'm a laugh regardless, but I don't think that was meant to be laughed at. You know what I mean?
Well, what's funny is just it's sometimes when it comes to selling, it's almost like the dichotomy. It's one guy is overselling or selling more than the other. And that's the balance that you and your, you know, dance partner in this case have to strike is. If one is overselling and the other one's not selling enough, it takes away from the believability. But whose fault is it in that case? Is it the overseller? Is it the underseller? Is it, you know, there's like a weird kind of expectation for those who are really paying attention to that stuff.
The way he hit that, the middle post, I would expect him to be dragging his arm while he slapped that post like it owed him money.
Yeah. And you think maybe he'd be like every once in a while, maybe when he hits the spear because he has to brace the back of the opponent where he'd be like, oh, damn it, that sucked. That's again, it's those little details that I think Moose has. He just wasn't using it tonight.
Moose is an unserious wrestler for all the right, wrong reasons. And I still laugh.
Tell me about it. let's hop all the way to the start. Jordynne Grace and Masha Slamovich defeat Lisha Edwards and Tasha Steelz. The best part of this match to me is just commentary arguing over Lisha Edwards' medical clearance. You've got Hannafin just like yelling out, she's cleared, she's fine. And you got Raywall being like, we don't know. You've never touched a weight in your life. You don't know how the nerve endings of the fingers work.
I cannot. I mean, the only thing I will disagree with you here is that wasn't the best part of the match. The best part of the match was Alicia. No, it was Alicia doing this like twice. Like, Masha, you know what? I don't want this. Grace? Ooh, nah. And at the end, she's like, you know, I don't want this. As it turns out, I do. I'm so sorry.
The finish was Lish tapping out to Masha Sleeper immediately. Like, Lish is in the match. Jordynne Grace goes over and tags in Masha Slamovich, and Masha just knocks in that sleeper, and immediately Lish is like, I'm done, and that was it. She taps out. That's got to be the end of this feud, right? Like, this is, we got to move on. Jordynne Grace, I assume that we'll do a rematch with Jordynne Grace, and then they'll give her the Trinity exit. She'll have a match at Turning Point, a tag match or a rematch. They'll do a rematch between Jordynne Grace and Masha Slamovich at Turning Point. They'll do a tag match at Final Resolution. It'll be the Jordynne Grace send off. If she sticks around till Genesis, which she might because they're in Dallas, Texas, and Jordynne Grace lives in Texas as well. So it's a nice send off if they decided to do that way. They could add another match for her. But other than that, like, there's not much left for Jordynne Grace as her time is kind of winding down.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was going to be the send-off match, but it makes more sense to do it at a pay-per-view. I do see in chat that, like, someone is booked, like, she might be booked for Genesis. That's the day to do it, I think.
Yeah, again, if you make her official debut, if she's moving to WWE, if her official debut is, say, the Royal Rumble, that's February 1st. So you have the time. Again, Genesis makes sense. and maybe the live Impact to say goodbye, because you'll be in San Antonio. You can do a little, you know, send off promo. If they give her a match at Genesis, let her have, you know, a new talent that they've brought in, or if it's Laying Lee, you can have her defeat Jordan on the way out. Again, I expect whatever it is for Jordan to go on a bit of a, not a losing streak, but, you know, have her last match be a big loss, because you want to go out, you know, making someone else look good.
Yeah, and I could see whoever she gives that rub to, Jiling Li. Is it Jiling Li or Jiling Li?
Laying Li.
Laying Li.
Yeah, I do it too. Laying Li.
I'm gonna try to get it, y'all. Bear with me, okay? If she puts her over, I could immediately see her filling that other muscle mommy spot. You know what I mean? TNA has always had two muscle mommies at the top, whether it's Awesome Kong and Grace, or Grace and Deanna, Masha and Grace. So she's really built. So I wouldn't be upset at it. And beating Masha is beating Grace is no easy feat. So to have her do that, I wouldn't be mad at her in the main event scene. Or Savannah Evans, who, she comes up in the next segment. She says she's tired of waiting her turn. What a better way to introduce another big woman, or reintroduce another big woman, than have Savannah Evans say, you want your way out, get the hell up out of here. So
I see someone in the chat mentioning Kylan King. That's a good shout. But again, we don't know, because Kylan's been out with an ACL tear for almost a year, and you don't know how quickly someone comes back for that. Again, it's a couple months away. Hopefully if I had my way, she'd be back tomorrow at the tapings. But for now, we can only deal with the hands we've got. And again, Kylan's available. That's a great shout. We'll see. But for now, with Jordan Grace, it's kind of like the starting to sunset the Jordan Grace TNA partnership. It's just going, it's ending. And that's fine. Now we move on to Masha and what's next for her. Clearly, you've got Savannah Evans. You've got Laying Li. You're going to have other people who start rising up the ranks in the Knockouts division. So we're looking forward to whatever happens next. Jody Threat, Danny Luna are two other ones. Now, once they drop those tag titles at the next show, because that's probably going to happen.
Stop with your soothsaying, because every time you say it, it comes to pass, Joel.
Regardless, when that happens, you'll probably see Jody Threat and Danny Luna start to work in the singles division, because they've already put together their newest, you know, thrown together tag team, and that's Reckless Elegance. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But you mentioned the next was the next segment was Gia Miller with Savannah Evans, and she basically just says, you know, she's a big deal, she's tired of waiting for opportunities. But my only takeaway from this, and this is not a slight at Savannah Evans, because she's actually really, really nice, it feels, and I've given other people shit for this before, so don't at me, feels like she's trying to act mean, but she's never been mean once in her life. She's like mean mugging, but she's just like, I'm too nice for this shit. It just, the acting wasn't there. That's how I felt. But otherwise, you know, she clearly has a mission statement.
Not you saying you're not a mean girl. Now let's go have marshmallows. We know you're nice.
It's just like, come on.
She said, shut up, G. I was like, hey.
I feel like if you just like, you do one of these to her and she's just like, that's not nice. And you're like, you're right.
You're right. I'm sorry, Gia Miller. I know you're mean, Gia Miller, but nah, I'm sorry. Not like, I agree. Like, I believed it because she's 8 feet tall and you cannot teach that.
Yeah, right there. Go.
I'm so sorry. Like, a truck just came running down my where do trucks drive? On a street. Thank you. I had a stroke there. It was just so loud. I was like, what is that? You guys can't see because it's sunlight at 10 o'clock in New York City. So don't worry about it.
It's the long sun season. You know, it's just like Alaska, where you got that late night darkness.
You, when people say that New York is bizarro land, this is what they mean.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I live next to a train track. My building is on a train track, so I get it. But also, we have pretty good sound isolation here.
I don't know what you guys can hear or what you guys can't hear. Derailing, fun fact, my microphone will not pick me up when I'm right here, but you could go fart in a can in the bathroom and someone's like, yo, who farted on my microphone? So I'm always very conscious. I stay muting.
Oh, so do I. That's why my board. The best thing I ever got was this Rode board where I can just toggle my mute on and off and never worry about losing it.
My finger and my hand is on the mute button on the mouse.
Control D if you're on StreamYard. Control D. That mutes it. Yeah. I got you. No, you do this. You gotta use your fingers.
What a nerd.
I'm sorry, audio. No DQ match. Rosemary versus Wendy Chu. Rosemary gets the win. Poor big time loser Wendy Chu. Loses at Bound for Glory. Lost the next week on NXT in a casket match against Tatum Paxley. Lost again tonight. Poor woman. She just can't catch a break. And tonight she gets laid out. That's it. It's over. No more Wendy Chu. In TNA, at least, they did the mic cord choke. They choked with the staff, did Rosemary. They did some pillow play, and then Rosemary bites Wendy Chu's hand and then hits as above, so below. That's the name of the finisher. It's basically the angel's wings. No, it's not. It's the wing clipper. I keep messing that up. The wing clipper. And then gets the assist with the cane and then gives her a kiss goodbye. This match was what it was.
Thanks, TNA. I thought you were supposed to put people over. That's what I'd be saying if I was Wendy Chu. Only disappointment about this match is Ray Rawl insinuated that the pillow could be loaded, and it was not. So, you know, false advertising, you'll be hearing from my lawyers.
I was told that pillow was always loaded.
It seemed like a regular pillow here.
Today, it was loaded with my hopes and dreams.
If I'm Wendy Chu, I'm hiring smart Mark Sterling, and I'm filing a lawsuit.
He's a little busy with something else.
Yeah, that's true. He's doing stuff in Impact. Not Impact, I'm sorry, Ring of Honor. Wrong show.
And sometimes Collision on Saturday nights, where you can find Cresta Star reviewing the show with a mix of Viridian and maybe Riccuccino.
Sometimes it's just me. No, I'm kidding. Sometimes it's Rob. No,
we got to put you on a solo stream for that stuff. That'd be great.
That'd be fan. Can you imagine a show with just me talking about wrestling? We'd be done in 10 minutes and we wouldn't talk about wrestling at all.
Sounds like a great show, honestly. I think that's a pretty good viewership.
You heard her here first, Sean. Book it.
We'll start you on select. Macklin is backstage and he calls Josh Alexander a chicken shit. And I'm like, hell yeah. I shouldn't be, but I am. And then he makes reference to the boss not helping Josh in the back anymore. And I'm like, oh, that's a fun little background thing that I don't know how I feel about. This is fine. They're going to run this match back into eventually. They're also going to run back the triple threat, or not triple threat, sorry, the six-man tag next week on the show, because Northern Armory will hopefully be able to get into the country this time. They didn't make it to Detroit for Bound for Glory for whatever reason. I'm not saying they couldn't make it into the country. They didn't make it to Detroit for Bound for Glory. They're hopefully going to make it to Fayetteville for the tapings, because otherwise they got to push that six-man tag again. And I hope they don't. And he says it's not over. I'll see Macklin on Sunday. I'll ask him all about it. How about that?
Josh Alexander tweeted in response to this. And he just laughed and said, I haven't beat you. Roll the tape. I'm like, yeah, he kind of got you there because he beat you a bunch and then went away. So, you know, I do agree. You guys, you zip-tied him. That was a chicken shit move. However, you know, they tried to set you free that one time and you still fought. So, you know, I don't know whose fault that one is. Bully Ray, not now. Get out of here.
I misspoke. I said I'd see Macklin this Sunday. I'm seeing him next Sunday at Northern Crown in Toronto.
Well, I do know that I do like this anti-hero Macklin. I don't know what we're going to do with Josh Alexander, but you do need to stop zip-tying him. That does seem a little, you know, bully.
Yeah, why would you do the zip-tying? You got to use some real handcuffs if you're going to do it.
I mean, but you've beaten him straight before. You ain't even got to do all that.
Nah, use the handcuffs. It's more.
You don't want to see him, Macklin. I'm trying to help you.
What's he going to do? Talk to me about it?
Use the handcuffs on you, sir.
I feel like his wife would have a problem with that.
Next segment, because anything I have to say is not going to be helpful.
The Rascals are backstage. You think anyone actually listens to us? I often wonder how many people are like, listen, if you've been listening up to this point, chat, you can leave whatever emoji you want. Comment in the chat. Sorry, comments after the fact. Leave a comment on the video and just be like, we made it this far. Just say we made it this far.
We made it this far.
That's all I care about. And then the Rascals have their segment. It's all Miley Cyrus lyrics. They literally got an entire promo using Miley Cyrus. Like, good for them. And then they get stoned because they're in the treehouse. And that was that. It's Rascal rebound season and they have weed. What are your thoughts on this? Because I'm sure you enjoyed it quite a lot too.
Wow, that's crazy. I too enjoy the solidarity with them with weed. I'm kidding. And that's O-U-I-D because I'm French. Oui.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
That's one hell of a way to put it.
Gentil Claire.
Nope. Don't even start. Nope. Not even close.
I'm sorry to our French listeners. Our one French listener, Joel Pearl.
Yeah, I was going to say, you really want to say that to the actual guy who speaks French or what? What are we doing?
Our one French listener. Thank you, Joel Pearl, for being a supporter.
Listening back to – anyway. This is fine. It was good. I'm looking forward to the Rascals coming back and getting back on track, because that was the one thing that was like, it was so exciting when they had the stuff with NXT and with Wes Lee and the story that they told. I feel like Trey kind of got pushed to the side, which was a little frustrating for several reasons, but now they're going to try and put them back on track, let them back into the tag division, let them work with the Hardys, do something with them, and see where it all goes. I'm not wanting anyone to turn on anyone. I just want to see the Rascals back to being the Rascals in the ring.
I agree with that. I'm not mad at the Rascals coming back. I was going to ask you, do you think we see a third Rascal? Well, obviously not.
It'd be a fifth Rascal at this point.
I was thinking maybe Myron Reed comes back, but I don't know how we feel about that or what's the deal with him. I just know he was in the Rascals at one point.
So one thing I should mention is congratulations to Myron Reed, because he and Killer Kelly had their first child. They had a daughter on Sunday.
Congratulations.
I want to wish them well. Want to give them congratulations. Yeah, they just had their kid. Myron is always welcome, as far as I understand it. So listen, I'd love to see him when he's available and when he wants to come around. But yeah, I don't know. Don't know what the plan is for Myron Reed. But he's always a rascal. They've never said he's not a rascal. They've always said... They've said the four of them have never worked together, and they'd love to do that in an unaired interview from time ago that I can't talk about. But anyway, point is, this is something that I'd like to see, and maybe they do fill the fourth chair. But I don't know if they want to do that. I don't know if they want to just let the Rascals live as the Rascals.
I mean, not for nothing. There is a hole in a tag division right now with ABC being sidelined. So the Rascals coming back as a strong tag team, wouldn't be mad at that.
We'll see. We will see. First class are backstage. Oh, no, I missed this one. Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry comes out, and he has a new song. He's Nick Nemeth's brother. The end.
What a perfect roast. Out of all the things, all the things Joe Hendry has done, this by far is the most disrespectful next to "Can you please get fired?" He was like, "We're going to have the overrun. I found all his accomplishments. He's Nick Nemeth's brother. The end." Wow. If I'm Ryan Nemeth, I'm going backstage and we're having a good old fashioned fisticuff, or a Donnybrook, because that was disrespectful.
It was good. I liked it. The match is set for next week. Ryan Nemeth versus Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry has the mic flag that he had from NXT. They've moved that over to TNA, which is pun. It looks actually, it actually looks better on TNA than it did on NXT. The NXT one looked beat up. I don't know. I can't explain it, but it's fine. It's just, these are getting little production nitpicks that I pick up because it's just the thing I know. First class are backstage taking up to Mike Santana. AJ Francis puts over Mike Santana, says he has great respect for him, says it, and then he says it pays to have friends and offers him a spot with first class, and Santana rejects the offer and then basically tells him buzz off, and then AJ tells Casey to go take care of it, and Casey Navarro's just like, huh? This is great.
Raggy, what do you mean?
Why me?
I mean, honestly, I didn't know what AJ Francis was going to say, but when Santana said, before you say anything, I need you to really think about what you said. And then he offered him first class. I was like, yo, he's going to beat both of y'all up right now. And then the plot twist, KC go handle that.
What would you think that's a plot twist where everyone's just like, yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, it's fair. I knew it was coming too when he said that. I was like, but at the same time, AJ Francis, Casey can't look that man in the eye, and you can. What are we doing here? That's not Casey. Now's the time to turn. If you turned, no one with that and I.
At this point, AJ Francis has just become like the gatekeeper to the world championship contenders. Because now they're probably going to do AJ Francis versus Mike Santana at WrestleCade. And like, okay, that's fine. It'll be what it is. But yeah, that's good. Good for them.
I would say that not so much. I lost my train of thought. Never mind. I'm sure.
Yeah, you read that too, right? No, the point is, it'll be if they do AJ Francis, and if they don't do it during the tapings, then they might just do it at WrestleCade. And that's fine. Mike Santana and AJ Francis match is very much a, hey, look at us, we're at WrestleCade type of match.
Listen, I'm not mad at it, but maybe I'm an AJ Francis hater. I do enjoy seeing him get beat up. Because he's mad tall, and he be taking the, like, why are you taking a one-winged angel at your 9'9"? That is hilarious to me.
The more I think about it, though, I think I'd rather do the Hardys versus first class. And I think I've been talking about that for a while. So I think maybe we'll just do Hardys and first class. You don't do Santana versus Moose for the X Division Championship? I'm fine with that, too.
That's kind of funny.
And then you let
Santana. Kind of funny.
But I don't want to have Santana have options. See, I again, there's some things on the table that I'm like, maybe. Feels like Moose is an option. See, oh no. Santana's going to win the world title at Genesis, and then Moose is going to option see the X Division Championship on Santana.
And then John Bradshaw Layfield's going to come out.
Oh, no. Jables is already, like, that turn's happening before the end of the year.
Oh, Jables. I can realize what you just like. Who? What the? Oh.
Oh, you don't call him Jables? Yeah, he's Jables.
You're a funny guy.
He's JBL. They've called him Jables on WWE. But anyway, Jables is he's gonna come back, and then yeah, they're gonna finally do the heel turn for Nemeth soon enough.
I'm with it. Cause I mean, Ryan Nemeth yelling backstage, it was on purpose. Doesn't make any sense when that wasn't what was happening. So
yeah, he's gonna cash an option C on Santana in January. Have fun with that. Yes, Dex saying in the chat, I want to see first class in the Hardy compound. That is a very good shout. I would love to see that too.
To quote first class, instead of it being money, that's going to be funny.
And if there's anyone who would make that so fun, it's AJ Francis. He would get it. He would, and I'm not saying Casey wouldn't, but like AJ is that type of guy that he would think up and look at stuff and just be like, we can do this, we can do that, make me look stupid. Like he'd have all the fun in doing that. So you know what? I'm in. Let's do it. Hardy compound, first class. Don't know when you would shoot it. I'm sure they're going to be in North Carolina anyway. So that would be a fun Impact main event. I would love that.
I'm not mad at that. Now I can imagine them both doing funny.
Oh, I love it. I know you're watching TNA. You know what I want. Show this to AJ. Show someone. I know one of you will.
It would pop me personally if y'all did that. Just me. Just know that I would DM you. You've heard it. I would DM you, AJ Francis, if y'all did that on TNA, and I would just the smiley, laughing face emoji. Funny. I would laugh.
Just pop
me personally.
I'm just gonna clip this and send it to him instead. I'm just going to do it myself. Jody threat defeats Heather by elegance. Ash gets involved. Danny backs off Ash. The hesitation basement dropkick from Heather rules. She knows how to wrestle. We already knew this. Jody wins with the pop shove it. They're 1-1 in singles for these two tag teams. I'm sure we're going to do this at the pay-per-view, at the PLE, at the, whatever they're calling it, the special. So see you at WrestleCade.
I mean, it's fine. It just proves that the Elegance Crew, unless you cheat a lot, you ain't winning. So
next week is Henry versus Ryan Nemeth, Santana versus Casey Navarro, and then they're going to run back, like I said, Northern Armory versus Macklin Alexander and Gresham. That's not right. Not Alexander. Who is this? Macklin EY and Gresham. At one point, they were friends. Not anymore.
We used to be best buddies, and now we're not.
What did I write down? Eric Young? I didn't write down Eric Young. I wrote down, I'm so used to Macklin and Alexander being on the same side. I don't know. I'm done. And they're running Nick Nemeth versus Brian Myers because we're doing Nemeth versus Edwards. Good for them.
Okay, work, Diva.
I'm sure Edward Edwards will get involved and get deep.
Trust the system.
The system will do their thing. And yeah, we talked about Moose versus Speedball. I do want to talk about one thing. I want to get your thoughts on this. So WWE had a few people depart, or at least departing, right? You've got Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. You've got the former Tegan Knox, Nixon Newell, and you also have Indy Hartwell. Not sure how familiar you are with all of them, but are any of those three names, if you are familiar with them, ones that you think would thrive in TNA or be good for TNA?
So I'm familiar with all three. Personally speaking, I don't like Baron Corbin's character. I don't want to see him on my screen. That's personally. So objectively speaking, I think he'd be fine in TNA. He is somebody who would do, I could see him doing some system stuff. He's a JDC. He's a good wrestler. I just personally don't care for him. Tegan Knox, that poor girl. She's such a good wrestler. When I first started seeing her wrestle, she blew her first knee. And then when she started wrestling again, she blew her next knee. I think in TNA, she put on some bangers, even in AEW. But I don't know what she wants to do if she wants to take her time. Indy Hartwell, she would be amazing in TNA. Oh, my God. I can see her joining Ash by Elegance and then be like, I don't know what's happening, actually. She would be fantastic. I think she'd be fantastic here. And eventually, she could go to AEW. I think out of all three of those names, Indy Hartwell would have the most to gain. And she would be fantastic. I could totally see her doing, like, remember when Chelsea Green was in TNA? And she was, was it The Influence or, no, that was Emma and Madison Rain. But I could see her doing that same thing or what she was doing with Deonna Purrazzo before she left. I think Indy Hartwell has some banger matches in her. I would love to see Tegan Knox do something, but I don't know what she wants to do. And Baron Corbin, like I said, I think in TNA, he'd be fine. Just subjectively speaking, I don't care for his character. What do you think about those three people?
So, half jokingly, I said the Corbin TNA World Championship agenda is on.
All right, so I'm gonna pull a Kate and leave.
I think Corbin's a good fit for a place like TNA. I don't think Nick Nemeth is long to stick around, but I could be wrong. Again, they like him, he likes it there, and I don't know what his plans are moving forward, because I don't know, how far can you really go when you come in, you win the world title in your first year, and you've been wrestling for the last nearly 20, like you've been around for a while. So I don't know what Nick Nemeth's plans are. We've talked about it here before. Nemeth got the Trinity contract, which was essentially, we have so much money allotted for one super duper major player and Trinity left. So let's pass it to Nick. And that's what they did. I don't know when Nick Nemeth's contract is up. I don't know if it's out there, but if they're getting to that point and Nick's moving on, Baron Corbin's the next guy call up. I just would, because I think it'd be funny as hell, and I think he'd be a good world champion.
Baron Corbin versus Moose would be the stupidest, dumbest, but the best match you could have.
It'll be fantastic. But yeah, that's the thing. Corbin's not passionate about the business, but he doesn't have to be. Moose isn't passionate about the business either. That's true. You ever see him give an interview? He didn't give a shit. And that's not a slight at Moose. Some people love talking to the media. Some people don't. I agree that your top guy should want to talk to media at all times and want to be that out there. Cody Rhodes, the Seth Rollinses, not Roman Reigns. He didn't want to do it. But the point is, like, you want those types of front people for your company. I understand that. And Corbin, he can do it. Actually, you know what? I shouldn't even say that he's not, because he absolutely loves doing those media scrums. Like, he has fun when you do them. So he's not going to say no. He's just, he's not Nick Nemeth in that regard. He doesn't put himself out there the same way Nick does. But when Corbin did it for WWE, he was always having a good time. So I don't know. He's someone that I could see. But also, they're about to run into a need to revamp their knockouts division is TNA. So I would like to see, if possible, Indy Hartwell with Steph DeLander at one point. That's a knockouts tag team that I wouldn't mind seeing together again, because at one point, if you remember, Persia Parada, Indy Hartwell, they were friends in NXT. You can call back to that stuff. There's little things that you can do with that. Tegan Knox, don't know what to expect from her. She's going to be wrestling in December in the UK, but I don't know what her long-term plans are. I'm sure she wants to wrestle wherever she can if she decides to keep wrestling. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I know that there were a lot of people who were like, this person go to AEW, this person should go to AEW. And I'm like, I don't think people necessarily need to go to AEW. I think there's enough wrestling out there that if you want to be a workhorse, again, TNA is that place where you work twice a month and the rest of the time you do whatever you want. So it's entirely up to the talent, but that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Because I'm thinking like a Tegan Knox versus Tasha Steelz would slap. Or whenever Killa Kelly comes back, Tegan Knox versus Killa Kelly would slap too. So, you know, whatever they decide to do, I hope the best. I think all three would be a fit in TNA. And I do think that TNA is one of those unique wrestling places where you could wrestle at TNA and do something completely out of the box and out of the bucket, no one would bat an eye. And you could, like you said, you can work, you can do all these other things, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, they ran back an old match tonight because of, you know, they had to cut one match from taping, so we won't get into that. But other than that, that was TNA for tonight. We're on the road to a taping. They start tomorrow night in Fayetteville for North Carolina for the next 4 weeks of tapings. They tape tonight and tomorrow night. Well, tomorrow night and the next night. My brain hurts. Cresta Star, what you got going on?
My brain, too, also hurts. Hi, my name is Cresta. Like Joel said at the beginning of our show, the ads at the bottom. Don't pay attention to that because I will be shutting down my Twitter as well. You can find me over on Blue Sky, Cresta Star. All forms of social media is going to be Cresta Star. Every Wednesday, I'm over live with Twitch. Live on Twitch and TikTok, we watch AEW Dynamite together. And every Thursday and Saturday, you can find me here over on Fightful. Thursday, we cover TNA, myself, and the beautiful Joel Pearl. And every Saturday, I'm with Iridian, Rick, or some combination of myself and someone. I'm just there doing AEW Collision with you. If that was a lot, there's a link tree in my bio on Twitter, which it is Cresta the Star. And you can find the past shows all in my I have a playlist. I couldn't think of what the name is. Joel Pearl, take us home. Where can people find you?
For clarification, when she said you, she didn't mean me. I don't do the AEW Collision post show. I got my own stuff going on. I just wanted to, just in case. I mean, listen, some people
have my own stuff going on.
Yeah, I got my own stuff. I don't really have much going on. I have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on Fightful Overbooked, our sister channel. Jeremy and I Lambert, like this is where we're at,
it's
right?
It's late. Now. It's 11 o'clock.
And I'm done. It's over. Jeremy Lambert and I go in the weeds 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, like I mentioned. We had a couple of guests on Wednesday and had a very interesting show, so go check that out. And tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit about NXT and AEW because they ran concurrently. It'll be fun. There'll be a lot of talk about a lot of stuff tomorrow, as we do every week. And we're back here on Thursday to talk about TNA Impact and a whole slew of other stuff. If you haven't already, go subscribe to Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business. For Cresta Star, I am Joel Pearl. I got to get rid of the at because you can find me on Blue Sky and Threads. It's still the same name, still the same face. Well, I don't know if I'll talk about wrestling, but till next time, ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.